The Corsican Brothers, based on the novel by Alexandre Dumas, written for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. Never did a novelist of his era captivate the public so completely as did Alexandre Dumas when he wrote The Corsican Brothers. In a matter of months after its publication, several plays by different authors were written, produced, and were running in London and Paris, all based on this Dumas masterpiece. Certainly its theme is a fascinating one, that of twin brothers, one wild, untamed, sometimes cruel, the other gentle, intelligent, and kind. Both living in different environments, and yet, in spite of their contrasting natures, possessing between them a strange telepathic bond. Paris, during the reign of Louis Philippe, the Paris that inspired Victor Hugo and Georges Sand to write, the Paris that was set to music by Frédéric Chopin and Franz Liszt. Paris may have been owned by genius such as this, but on this special night, Paris belongs to Louis Prévost. In the pretentious house in the Rue Gabelli, he adjusts his cravat in the ornate mirror, and the handsome reflection that gazes back at him is aglow with excitement and expectation. As he struggles with the neckcloth, his lips repeat over and over again a certain name.
Émilie Latouche. Émilie Latouche.
Enter. Oh, it's you, Pierre.
And unannounced, Louis. No footman inside downstairs. I knew I'd find you here, but I expected you to be ready.
It's this cravat. It's the third one, Pierre. I keep creasing them.
It's very unlike you, Louis, to worry about your cravats. Or about any part of your dress, for that matter.
I want to look my best tonight, Pierre. I must.
Not for the old Marquise, surely. Oh, she's so short-sighted that she wouldn't know even if you appeared in riding habit.
No, it's not our hostess. But I learned only today, Pierre, that Mademoiselle Emilie Latouche will be at the reception with her aunt.
Oh, so it's Emilie again.
I'm beneath her notice. I know I am, Pierre. But I just can't get her out of my mind. I thought perhaps if we had even one dance.
Listen, Louis. Why should you be beneath the notice of Emilie Latouche? Don't you realize that you're one of the eligibles of Paris at the present moment?
She doesn't know I exist.
Well, she ought to. After all, your uncle and aunt are counted among the rich. You're their only heir. I know half a dozen fond mamas who are chasing you at the present moment, just so that they can bring home a prize for their unmarried daughters.
It's Emilie I want. But I know what it will be, Pierre. As soon as I arrive at the reception and go and look for Emilie, the bow will be too deep around her.
Louis, I've known you ever since you were a boy of 12. I'm nearly old enough to be your father. I know you're clever. I know you're intelligent, witty. You have a large circle of admirers. And I know that when the time comes for you to take over your uncle's estates, you'll be able to do so with merit. But there's one thing I can't understand. You haven't any strength of purpose.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, apparently you're desperately in love with Emilie Latouche. Why don't you take your courage in both hands and declare yourself?
She'd laugh at me. There's Gustave always with her, and Francois, and René, and Paul, and Charles Devine.
Oh? Just try it and see.
I but dared. If the opportunity comes, if we're alone for 5 minutes tonight, I will. But, oh, Pierre, I'm so happy just at the thought of seeing her again. Her lovely fair hair, her skin so smooth and so clear, and those eyes, blue like the Mediterranean. I'm happy just at the thought of seeing her, Emilie Latouche.
Louis Prévost has mentioned the blue of the Mediterranean, but he little realizes that on this same Mediterranean lies an island which is closely linked with his destiny. Corsica, with its wild, rugged mountains, a tangle of green forests and yawning valleys and its turbulent streams. Corsica, land of the Vendetta. In the center of this mountainous isle, in a fort-like house in a small village set high up among the crags, another young man sits before a mirror. But this is no ornate gilt mirror. It is edged with plain deal. And this plainness is apparent throughout the sparsely furnished room. But stay. The reflection in this mirror, it is exactly the same as the reflection in the magnificent mirror in the Paris house. These two young men are identical, except that one is dressed as a man of fashion. This other is in the peasant costume of Corsica. His green cloth riding coat, his grey cloth trousers, his leather boots and spurs. He bears a different name, Lucien de Franchi. This young man is hurriedly buttoning his riding coat as a commanding grey-haired woman dressed in black hurries into the room.
Hurry, Lucien, please hurry.
I've been thinking. Wouldn't it be better if we waited another half hour?
But Griffo said he would be back here for supper. He's 3 hours late. And you know what we heard?
Oh, Griffo was able to take care of himself.
That may be, but he can't match the cunning of the Gedici family. I tell you, Lucien, I heard for certain that several of the Gedici are passing through the mountains not 20 miles away, perhaps at this very moment.
Oh, if only I knew where.
I fear that if they came upon Griffo unawares, they'd kill him.
But Griffo is not a de Franchi.
Maybe not, but he's been one of our retainers all his life, and his father before him. They'd kill him for that.
Oh, very well, Mother. I'll give him just a half hour more. Then I'll go up as far as the pass and see if I can find him.
Do be careful, my son. If the Gedici came across you unaware...
I'd fight to the death. If only I knew where they were crossing the mountains. I'd avenge my father this very night.
And your father's mother. And the other 25 who have fallen to the Gedici during the Vendetta. It's a bitter thought for me, my son, to think that now we are the only two de Franchi left in existence. What's the matter with you tonight, my boy?
Oh, nothing.
You seem thoughtful, quiet. Usually, when we talk of the Gedici, your eyes blaze. You lose control of yourself. Why this change tonight?
Oh, I don't know, Mother. There's a calm about me tonight, just as though... Well, tonight for the first time, I wonder why it is that we've gone on through the years, our family and the Vendetta against theirs. One generation after another. Until we almost forget what it was that started the feud.
Lucien, you have never spoken like this before. Would you try to avoid your obligations, the honor of your family?
Never. Haven't I sworn that? Oh, Mother, it's just that... Well, tonight there's a certain something in my heart. A lightness. Just as though something very wonderful was going to happen to me.
It's one of those strange moods which beset you so often. So unaccountably.
Perhaps. No, but don't worry about Griffo. I feel he's quite safe.
You've always been a strange boy, Lucien. These unaccountable moods of yours. A very strange boy.
Oh, there you are, Louise. What are you doing hiding in this anteroom?
Hello, Pierre.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to be alone. There's a lightness in my heart tonight. I feel that something very wonderful is going to happen.
Not if you sit in here by yourself. Go inside and dance a measure.
I don't want to dance.
What? With so many lovelies in attendance? I haven't seen you all the evening. I was wondering what had happened. Did you see me?
Yes, and what a vision. That blue dress. Some kind of blue.
Mm-hmm. Celestial blue crepe with silver ribbon.
And her hair, a myriad of loose curls. The ribbon, too. Pia, her card was full. Not one dance for me, just as I told you.
Then why are you so excited? I see no evidence of gloom.
Gloom is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. She took pity on me, Pierre. I explained that so many times have I asked her to dance, and so many times have her cards been full. And tonight, why, I don't know. But she's consented to meet me on the terrace after supper at midnight. Pierre, we shall be alone together for 10 whole minutes.
Congratulations.
She was sorry her card was full. She said so, and I know she was. That's why she agreed to meet me. And during those 10 minutes, I shall tell her everything that's in my heart. Oh, Pierre, I'm so happy, so excited. All I can think of is midnight, the terrace, a heart that has so wanted to unburden itself, and the moon. It's full moon.
Full moon. How still everything is outside.
Look now, Griffo's back. Griffo's back.
Griffo?
Riding along the track. You're staring out of the window. Can't you see him? It's as clear as day in the bright moonlight.
Oh, yes.
Oh, at last. Oh, Griffo!
Griffo! Welcome home!
So my fears were unfounded. You must have some sixth sense, Lucia. You were so unruffled, not at all worried about Griffo.
Oh, I'm too happy to be worried.
But why, my boy?
Oh, I don't know, Mother. There's no reason at all, I suppose. And yet, perhaps it's the beauty of the full moon.
Anyone would think you were in love.
In love? Oh. With whom, might I ask? There's not a young, pretty girl in this district.
Come in, Griffo.
Oh, you don't know how glad my mother is to see you. Where have you been?
What kept you?
I was nosing up news. I ferreted the secret, madame. Lucien, I have amazing news for you. It'll give you the opportunity for which you've been waiting for years.
What is your news? Quickly.
I delayed because I heard that two of the Gedici family will be coming through the pass tonight.
The Gedici?
Old Dino Gedici and his daughter Marianne reached the pass at midnight.
Midnight?
Yes, Lucien. And with this full moon, with the light as clear as day, you'll be able to take your vengeance, ambush them, and shoot them both dead. This Marianne is the daughter who has sworn to wipe the Franchi family from the face of the earth.
I've heard of her. The beauty of the Gedici family. She is more vindictive than all the rest put together, Lucien.
My boy, this will be a superb vengeance for you. Midnight. Tonight.
Midnight is the hour of destiny for two men, two identical young men in this tale of love and hate. Why has Lucien been so light-hearted, so happy, with enemies so close? What will happen both in Paris and in Corsica in the lives of these two young men when the clock strikes midnight?